We begin the current daf, Masechtas Baba Kama, daf Pei Gimel. Begin on the bottom line of daf Pei Beizim and Beiz. But the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. The Gemara had brought a braisa to explain the halacha of the Mishnah that said, Ima gadlan chazir mechal makam. One is not allowed to raise swine anywhere. The reason for that is the Gemara brought a braisa because of the incident that happened between the two Chashmonaim brothers who were fighting over the monarchy. And instead of bringing them the carbon tamid, they gave them a swine. And that caused Nizdazeah, the whole Eretz Yisrael shook because of that disgrace regarding the Beis HaMikdash and Hashem and Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, cursed is the one who raises swine. Now additionally, another point mentioned there in the Braisa was that the way that the people on the outside knew this, that they shouldn't keep on giving the carbon tamid because or else they're never going to be able to conquer those on the inside for the siege that they're laying for them, it's because an elderly person communicated to them through Chachmas Yevanos. So besides cursing those who raise swine, additionally they said it's cursed as someone who teaches his sons the Greek language. Those are the two things. Now that the Gemara continues and asks, is the Greek wisdom actually forbidden? But Ritanya learned the Braisa Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said, Be'eretz Yisrael, in the land of Eretz Yisrael, as we continue to talk about Pegim al-Meralf, Lashon Surusi Lama, why do people, common people, speak in this Surusi language? In other words, either people should speak the Hebrew tongue, the Hebrew language, or the Greek language, which is a clearer, more erudite language in contrast to Surusi, which is a corrupted language. So too of Amar Rebbe Yesi, he said a similar thing. In Bavel, Lashon Arami Lama, why do they speak in Aramaic? Either speak Lashon HaKadosh, or Lashon Parsi, or speak Persian, which is more beautiful than Aramaic. So in Eretz Yisrael, the question was, which was closer to Greece, they should speak Greek. And the Bavel, which is closer to Persia, they should speak Persian. That was what they had commented. But one thing we see is that that Rebbe was advocating to speak Greek. So you see that the Greek language is permitted. So why are we saying cursed is one who speaks Greek? So Amri, they said, Lashon Yevuni L'chud. The Greek language is one thing. That's actually permitted. And like Rebbe said, speak that in better than Sursi. Chachmas Yevanos L'chud. But the Greek wisdom, that's different. In other words, the nobility, which was close to the king, to the monarchy, they would speak in a different, more elitist type of Greek language. That's called Greek wisdom. That was what was forbidden. That's the way that person had communicated to those on the outside to send up the chazir instead of the carbon tamid. Now that the Gemara still asks, v'chachmas yivanas mi'asira, that higher nobility form of language of the Greek, that is forbidden. But v'amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol Mishrom Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had communicated regarding this pasuk in Eicha, that as if he should be reading it, reciting it regarding himself, that eini oil lanavshi, my eyes wail for my soul, mikol b'nais iri, from all the daughters of my city. In other words, what he was saying was, by quoting this pasuk, is that I should cry for tears and mourning because of all the family of my extended family of the city, because elef yiladim, there were 1,000 bachrim, young men, hayu bebeis abba, were in my father's household. Chamesh meis mehem lamdu Torah, 500 of them were learning Torah. Chamesh meis lamdu chachmes yevans, and 500 of them learned the Greek wisdom. Now the only two that remain from all those 1,000 are me here and my father's my cousin, my father's brother's son in Asia. So he says that I should be mourning. But one thing we see is that half of his extended family learned his Chachmas Yevanos. Didn't we say that that type of a language is forbidden? So Amidi said, Shani Beis Rabbi Gamliel. You're right. Generally, it's cursed someone who teaches his sons that higher level language, the Chachmas Yevanos. But the family of Gamliel was different. Shoyu Kreb Malchus, because they were close to the government. Okay, the time, like we learned the Bryce, a similar idea. I'm a saper kaimi. If someone cuts off his hair only in the front of his head, that's a violation of being similar, following the paths of the emoyrim, which is a biblical prohibition of following the types of styles of the non-Jews, where they would cut off only the hair in the front, but leave a pony in the back. Now, that's so therefore it's forbidden to cut your hair like that. But of Tumias bar Ruvain, the sages permitted him to cut his hair that way, because he was close to the government. So too shall base Rabbi Gamliel he too lem lasab b'chachmas yivanas. For them, it was permitted for them to learn the wisdom of this higher Greek language. And they should crave l'malchus again because they were close to the government, and therefore to be able to communicate with them and be able to connect with them, they had to find the common ground. Therefore, he was able to cut his hair that way, and the Hasrim Leel were able to learn this Chachmas Yevanas again as a way of, because they were Kravel Machzal, but in general, yes, cursed is someone who teaches his son this Chachmas Yevanas. Now, the Mishnah also said, Lo yigadlo od mesakel, if a person is not allowed to raise a dog, Elam ken kasher b'shal shalois v'chul, unless it's tied down with this iron chains to keep that dog on that leash. Now the Gemara explains, Tanar Ban Moin the Brayso Lo Yigadlo Od Mesakelev. Person not, again, as we said in the Mishnah, allowed to raise a dog. Elam Ken Kasher B'Shalshelis, unless he's tied with a chain. Avol Megadlu Be'ir Hasmucha L'Asvar. But a person could raise a dog in a city that's by the border between the Jewish land and the non-Jewish people, because that's the area that needs to be protected. And B'Kasher B'Yem Matir B'Layla. So you tie the dog by the daytime, and the nighttime, when for protective purposes, then you could have the dog untied. Tanya learned the Brayso, the Rebbe Elazar Gadol Amar, he says, Megadle Klavim, if someone raises dogs, can Megadle Chazim, is like he raises swine. So the Gemara says, L'mayin Nafkimina, what's the halachic relevance? We said by both of them it's forbidden. So the Gemara says, it's L'meikam Aleh Ba'ar, it's to say that the one who raises dogs will get the same curse as someone who raises swine, as we taught in the previous daf. And the Brayso that says that they gave a curse to whoever raised the swine, so he's comparing and equating the same thing for someone who raises dogs. Now, Amr Rav Yisrael ben Yumi, Amr Rav Nachman, he says, Bavel ki iras muchel esfar dami. The Bavel, Babylon, is like the city which is near the border, which again, we said, then you're allowed to raise a dog. Now, Tirgum, it was interpreted that what that means to say, it's regarding the Nardah. In other words, Bavel, Babylon, is the name of the country. Now, one of the cities inside is Nardah. Now, that city was near the boundary, near the border of other people. Now, what Rav Nachman is coming to teach is that since in Bavel, that's where the primary settlement of the Jewish people were after the Gullus. So they're allowed to raise dogs in the city that's near the border, as if it was like by Eretz Yisrael, where there the halacha is that you're allowed to have the dog by the border. So Rav Nachman is saying the same halacha applies to protect the borders of Bavel, because that's where the majority of the Jewish people are, which again was Nahardah in regards to Bavel. Now, a related discussion regarding the prohibition of raising a dog, the Gemara says, a Darsh Reb Destoy Dimin Biri. He expounded the following pasuk by Midbar. It says, "Ubenuchai," that when it rested, Yoimer Moshe Rabbeinu would say, "Shuva Hashem, return Hashem to Revavos Alfei Yisrael, to the myriads and the thousands of the Jewish people." Now, so that was Hashem calling to that was Moshe Rabbeinu calling to the Shechina to come to the Jewish people. Lametchu, that comes to teach you is she'ein Shechina Shaira al Yisrael, that the divine presence does not rest on the Jewish people. Paches, less than what it says there in the pasuk, Mishnei Alaf Mishnei Revavos. From 2,000 and 2 myriads, which each myriad is 10,000, 22,000. That's what it says, Shuv Hashem to Revavis Alfi Yisrael, which both are plural, 2 myriads, 2,000, was 22,000. Now, Chasar Achas, imagine if, let's say, they're one less than 22,000. Vahisa Ishmu Beres Beinayim, and there was a woman that was pregnant amongst the Jewish people, Beru Lahashlim, and then it's fit for when the child's going to be born to be 22,000 people to have the divine presence rest on them. The Navach Bakela Vepila, and imagine if a dog barked and caused the woman to miscarry. So that will cause the divine presence to be removed from the Jewish people. So a person has to be aware that one woman's miscarriage could mean the disappearance of the divine presence resting on the Jewish people. Now a story related to this halach is Hahi Itza, there was a certain woman, the Alis Lamefa Bahu Beis, that went in to a certain house to bake bread. Nevach bo kalba, and the dog barked at her. So Amala Mare, so the master of the dog said to the woman, Loit stafimine, don't be afraid of this dog. Shakal nive, his fangs, those four teeth of the dog, which are the long teeth that it bites with, were already taken out. There's nothing to be afraid of. So Amale, she said to the man, Shekili tivusech, you could take your thanks, Vishadya chizri, and you could throw it on thorns. In other words, what you're comforting me is in vain. Because Kfar Nod Vlad, the child has already moved, been uprooted from its place, and I've already miscarried. Now the Mishnah said additionally that in person nishvin liyainim, person is not allowed to set out nets to capture doves, b'chulu, etc., until a distance of 30 ris, which is 4 mil. You can't have that near the settlement because then you're going to be catching other people's doves, and therefore you're only allowed to catch there from onulus doves. Now that the Gemara asks, Umiyazli Kuli Hai, do doves really fly 4 mil, and that's why we're concerned up in that area that you're going to catch other people's yainim? But what's now, we learn the Mishnah Baba Basra that says, Namarchikines Ashevich min the ear, a person has to distance his dovecot, which is where the birds stay, a distance from the city, so that the birds should not ruin the produce and the fruits of those which are in the city, a distance of Chamisha Amah, 50 Amah. 50 Amahs, it's not going to come and fly into the city to eat people's crops. Now the problem is, we see that's only 50 Amah. How would we say that it's going to be an area of 4 mil, which is, you have 2,000 Amahs to a mil? So Amah Abaye explained, no, Meshit Shaiti Tuva. Of course, they fly a lot, and therefore that's why we set up to 30 ris, 4 mil. You have to take your nets out of the city, because or else they're going to fly that far and you're going to capture other people's doves. But kirsayu, but their stomachs, in other words, what they gather and what they peck in, what they find in the ground, that's bechamishim amamalgi, and already 50 amas, they become full. So therefore, regarding eating the produce of the people of the city, we're not concerned more than 50 mil. Because as long as you make your dovecot 50 amas away, whatever's going to fly on the way, it's going to catch on the way, up to 50 amas, already going to be full. But regarding flying, it flies further, and therefore you might capture other people's doves if it's less than 30 ris. Now, that the Gemara asks, Umesha Shleshim Ritz Besulai, so what are you telling me that it only flies up to 30 ris and not more than that? And that's why you can set your nets at least 30 ris away from the settlement? But Ratanya in the Braisa, be Yishuv in this settled area, a filameya milo yifris, even 100 mil you're not allowed to spread out. So it seems like that they fly up to a distance of even 100 mil. Why are we saying only up until 4 mil? So Rav Yosef Ami says, that halacha of that Braisa is talking about be Yishuv Kramim, in a settlement of vineyards. Where there then the birds go from vineyard to vineyard, and there it could keep on going, it's like refueling, and they could go very far. So then, you can't make even up to 100 mil. Or Rabba Amahi says, B'yishuv Shevachin, it could be Tomas element of dovecots, where again, it could go from stop to stop to stop. Then, but you're right, without that Yishuv Kram, without the Yishuv Shevachin, it only goes up at the distance of 4 mil. But if you have all these stops, then yes, that will be even up to an area of 100 mil. Now, this answer of Rabba, the Gemara asks, wait a second, if you're telling me that the reason why you can't make even up to 100 mil away from where the doves are is because it's a settlement of dovecots, well then, what do you mean? Don't say that's because they could travel up to 100 mil, it's because of those dovecots themselves, which have inside doves, that you can't make it within that area because those birds are going to capture. Why are you saying because of the bird that's 100 mil away that's going to come from one dovecot to another one? So I think Mar gives three approaches. If you want, you could say that those dovecots that are the yishuv of the Shevachin are from non-Jews, which doesn't have the same type of halacha, especially regarding that type of non-Jew, which there wouldn't be any problem about capturing his birds. Or if you could say it's talking about that they're ownless, those dovecots, so there's no problem about capturing those. Or if you want, you could say it's talking about his own dovecots. And therefore, there's no concern about capturing those doves from those dovecots, because they're his, but you do have to be concerned, and that's what the Bryce is coming to teach, regarding the doves of the settlement of other peoples, which come through the dovecots, even to a very far distance, even up until 100 mil, that would be a concern. So therefore, there's three different madrigas. We said that regarding 50 amis, that's only regarding how much it fills itself up. So you have to take your dovecot and make it, at least from people's crops, 50 amas away. Then there's regarding the halacha of 4 mil, which is 30 ris. That's a concern if there's nothing around, it's just a settled area, then that's how far the birds go. More than that, you could set up your nets. Or, however, if there's a yishuv krum or a yishuv shevachim, where then they can go from 1 to 1 to 1 to 1, and again, those is no concern because either it's a non-Jews or hefka or the guys himself, then it still would be a problem even up until 100 mil because then they can keep on going from one to the next and you wouldn't be able to set up nets because then you'd be capturing other people's doves. Hanulach Merubah, we shall return to the 7th parak of Masechtas Baba Kama, parak Merubah. And with that, we turn the Amud to Amud Beis, and we begin the 8th parak in Masechtas Baba Kama, parak HaChevel, which continues on to the 4th mazik, which wasn't mentioned yet. We spoke about Shur, Bur, spoke about Hever, which was the mazik of fire. And then the third one, at least according to one interpretation, was the mazik of Mava, which Mava is the Adam, regarding the Adam HaMazik, when the person injured, when the person damages someone else. So the Mishnah tells us, HaChevel B'Chaver, if someone injures his friend, Chayvala Mishum Chamisha Dvarim, so he's liable for 5 different types of payments. One is benezik, regarding the actual damage that he did. Bitsar, regarding the pain that the victim got. Beripui, regarding healing him, the medical bills. Beshavis, regarding the amount of work that he's going to be seizing from. And Ubaishis, regarding the humility, as the Mishnah explains all these 5 halachas. Benezik, Ketzat, how do we evaluate the damage that he did to that person? So simes einoy, if he blinded his eye, or kites the other, or he broke off his arm, or shibes ragloy, he broke his foot. Rayin oisai, we view the victim ki iluhu evan nimka b'shuk, as if he was a slave being sold in the marketplace. V'shamen kamah yafo, we evaluate how much would he have been worth before the injury. V'kamahu yafo, and how much is he worth now after the injury? And that's what's called the damage, because that is real monetary damage that he did to the guy, and he made him lose that money, because if that guy, the victim, had needed, he could have sold himself as a Jewish slave, and he would have made that money. Now he lost that availability, that opportunity, and therefore that's how much the compensation is for the actual nezek of the physical injury. Tsar, how do we evaluate the pain? So the Mishnah tells us, kava'ai b'shvud, if he burnt him with a spit, a metal stick, or even masmer, or with a nail, which is the pain of the injury. Vafel al tziparna, and even if it's on his fingernail, which is a makam she'inei sechabura, it didn't make an actual wound, but there was a lot of pain there. Oimdim kama odim kayetze b'zeh, so we evaluate how much a person like him, because everything goes according to how delicate the person is. The more delicate he is, the more pain he gets from the injury. How much would he have been willing to take to endure that amount of pain? However much he would take, he's saying $1 million? Okay, maybe I'll do that amount of pain, but not less than that. That's again how much is going to be the requirement of the compensation for the tsar. How do we evaluate the medical bills, the healing? So hiko, if he injures him, so he has to heal him. Now, let's say if in the area of the wound he develops blisters. So, if it's because of the wound, so then he's liable to heal him for that too. But if the blisters didn't come because of the wound per se, then he's exempt. Now, let's say it gets healed, but then it comes back. It gets healed, but then it comes back. So again, didn't totally heal him yet. He still has to heal him. He still has to pay for those medical bills. Now, but if it totally healed in the chayv l'rafa isa, then if something comes afterwards, since it's not coming from the wound, then he doesn't have to heal him. Shevis, the fact that he's unemployed, how do you evaluate that? So Rayan Isa, we view the victim all the days of his illness, as if he's somebody that watches the cucumbers. He's watching a plantation, watching fields, and then you pay him every single day how much he would have been making had he been this watchman of the cucumbers. Now, the reason for that is because he can't really do heavy work, even if he wasn't ill from the injury, because his hands and feet were already cut off. And moreover, shekvar nasan lo dmei yadav v'dmei ragloi. One of the payments was nezek. You already paid him for the loss of his foot or his hand. So that's already a given. You're not going to compensate him how much he would be making as if he was doing his regular job, because we already say that you compensate him for his hands and his feet. But let's say even without hands and feet, if he wasn't ill because of the injury, he would be doing a job that doesn't need hands or feet, let's say watching the cucumbers, garnering such a job that he can't even do that now, but he would be if he wasn't ill because of the injury. That's how much you compensate him every single day through the valuation of Shabbos. And the last one, Baish, is how do you evaluate humiliation? Says the Mishnah, Koy lefi hamavayish. Everything goes according to the one who does the embarrassing. In other words, a lower type of a quality person that embarrasses someone else, it's more embarrassing, whereas a respected person, it's not as embarrassing. And Vamis Baish also goes according to the one who's getting embarrassed, because a very distinguished person who gets embarrassed, his humiliation is greater. Now, as Rashi points out, all these five things that we mentioned are learned out from Psukim. The actual halacha of Nezik is learned out from Ayin Tachas Ayin, as our Gemara will explain, that that's regarding monetary payment, eye for an eye. Tsar, pain, is learned out from Petza Tachas Patza, because as the Gemara says in the next daf, that's extra words, comes to teach you the halacha of pain. Ripui and Shabbos, the Pasuk says explicitly, it says, Rak shifta yitim rapi rapi, he has to give him the amount of work that he's missing, and you have to heal him. And Boish is regarding the humiliation, that the Pasuk says, as we taught in the previous daf, a katsesis kappa, that the woman who grabbed the man in his private area, we cut off her hand, which the Gemara there explains doesn't mean that, but it means mum, and she has to pay money for the humiliation that this man endured from what she did to him. Now the Gemara explains the first halacha of the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, Amai, why is it that we say that when someone, let's say, blinds someone's eye, cuts off his hand, that then there's the obligation of Nezek, he has to compensate him monetarily for that injury. But Ayin Tachas Ayin, Om Rachman, the Torah says, an eye for an eye. Eima Ayin Mamish, let's translate it literally. Let's say it means that you blinded his eye, you get your eye blinded. And the Gemara says, Leisal Gedaitach, you can't entertain to say that. Because the Tanya learned in the Braisa that says, Yachal si mes'enu, you would think if someone blinds someone else's eye, Mesa mes'enu, you blind his eye. Or kate es yade, you broke off his hand, Mekate es yade, you break off his hand. Shibis ragli, he broke the guy's foot, Meshabis ragli, he break his foot. Tamalayim, that's the Pasuk teaching, Mayikra, says in the Pasuk, Maki adam umake behema. That regarding the injury of a person, and Maki behema regarding the injury of an animal. And the Gemara shortly is going to explain what Pasuk, where does it say this Maki, because that's not the actual words of a Pasuk. Which ones is this referring to that we're comparing the injury of a person to the injury of an animal? But the Braisa says that we compare the two, which is Maki behema l'tashlumah, just like when a person inflicts an injury on an animal. Then the obligation is to compensate it monetarily. So too, regarding injuring a person, the compensation is monetarily and not physically on the assailant. Now continues the Braisa, but if you want, you could say, in other words, if you have questions and responses regarding this first interpretation that I bring a source for, then I could go ahead and teach it to you from a different drasha, which the Gemara shortly is going to explain what would have been difficult. What is the question on this first limud that we need another source for this halacha? But on that, the Braisa says, Harei Omer, there's a different pasuk. There's a pasuk in Bamidbar that says, Leisichu kaifer lenefesh ritzech. You cannot take atonement money for the life of a murderer, ashehu rasha lamos, who is a wicked to be killed, which tells us that he can't pay his way out of it. A murderer has to get killed. Now, says the Braisa, what that pasuk comes to teach us is lenefesh ritzech yatu lekech kaifer. For the life of a murderer, you can't take atonement money. But you could take atonement money, meaning payment for the tips of limbs which don't come back. In other words, if someone cut off someone's foot or his hand, which didn't murder him, but he killed part of him, only Rosh Ivarim, the tips of the limbs, that doesn't come back, that you could have kafer money. In other words, you could pay your way. Instead of getting physically injured back, you could just give money. Again, this concept of saying that Ein Tachas Ein is not literal, it's rather it means to give the money of the eye. Now, the Gemara asked to explain, which we just alluded to before, Hai Maka, which pasuk are we referring to in the Yikra that talks about, where in one pasuk it says, talking about injuring a person, injuring an animal, comparing the two, and just like when you injure an animal physically, you have to pay monetarily, so too by a person, you have to pay monetarily. Elam, if you say it's the pasuk in the Yikra that says, Maki behemi yishal meno, if you injure an animal, you have to pay the owner, Umaka adam yumas, and when you injure a person, you get killed. So you see the pasuk's equating, Maki behemi, Maki adam. That the Gemara says you can't say that pasuk. Ahu b'ktalik sib. That pasuk says explicitly that when you're makel adam, when you injure a person, you must get killed. And it doesn't say, to the contrary, you're not getting tashlumin. There's no monetary payment over there. It's actually getting killed. So el mahacha rather must be from a previous pasuk. Pasuk earlier says, maki nefesh behema yishalman. If someone injures the soul of an animal, meaning he kills an animal, yishalman, he has to pay up the owner. Nefesh tachas nefesh. A soul for a soul. Now, Besamachle, in the pasuk near there, right after, says, V'ish ki'itin mumba misa. And if a man places a blemish, he injures a person, his friend, kasha asa kenya asa loy. Like he did, that's what you do to him. So you see that the pasuk says, Maki nefesh behema. And we know that it says Yishalmana. Next pasuk says, talks about regarding injuring a person. Just like injuring an animal, is you pay monetarily, so to injuring a person is monetarily. Now, that thing more as, High Life Mako. But that pasuk doesn't say Maka. We said that you're making a comparison, a makeh behema to makeh adam, but it doesn't say makeh by the person to make this hekesh of adam to behema. It just says other words, kitin mumba misai, but how are we learning a makeh? It doesn't say makeh. So the Gemara says, yes, it's not the actual words, it's hako kaminan. It's injury that we're learning. In other words, even though the psukim are not exact, you could still learn a gezeirah shava, as we learned in Tanit Bei Rishma, as the Gemara in Eivin, Daf Nanavim brings in other places, where it says, v'shava kain uvaha kain, which although it's not the same exact words, but it's the same idea that's being conveyed, about the kain coming to check out the nega. So too over here, when we're talking about, when we say make adam, we don't mean it says the word make, it's the idea about haka, about injuring a person, because it's learned from the words, kiitein mum, when you place a blemish, which is, how do you do a blemish? By giving him an injury. So that's why we're comparing the injury to an animal to the injury of a person, which is mahaka mor bebehema l'tashlumin, just like the injury that was done to the animal, we said that the compensation is monetarily. Avaka mor ba'adam l'tashlumin, so to the injury that said regarding a person is also going to be a monetary compensation. Now, however, the Gemara asks, but v'ksif, But the pasuk earlier than that even says, "V'ish ki yaka kol nefesh adam ma'isumas." A man, if he will hit the soul of any person, ma'isumas, he will surely get killed. Now, as Rashi points out, obviously the pasuk is not saying that really the one who injured someone else is going to get killed, because that's only if you're a murderer. Here it's talking about that if you just injure a person, it's told about for the rashi of arm, for the lip, for the tips of the person's limbs, meaning his bodily parts, because the next pasuk after that says ayin tachas ayin, says an eye for an eye. So obviously it's that you didn't kill him, you just injured him. Yet the pasuk still says you must, that surely he will be killed. Now what does that mean? You're not getting killed for just injuring somebody. Must be that the assailant, he gets partly killed, because you kill part of him, you take away one of his limbs, just like he did to that person. So seemingly, ayin tachas ayin is literally, it's eye for an eye. But the Gemara says, no, it's b'mamon. When it says that he will surely die, it means die monetarily and not physically. Now the Gemara says, b'mayde b'mamon, how do you know that it's monetarily? Ema b'mis mamish, say it means literally death. Again, it doesn't mean really being killed and executed, but at least death of that person, the mazik's limb, just like he did to that person that he injured. And that the Gemara says, leisa g'daitach. You cannot entertain to say that. Because chada, first of all, as we said before, the iskish lamake behemish amen. First of all, the pasuk compares the injury to a person to the injury of an animal, which we said, just like by an animal, it's monetarily so to here. Void ksib asrei. Moreover, it says afterwards, a later pasuk says, kasha yitin mumba adam, just like he placed a blemish in a person, ken yinasin boy, so too should be given to him, which the term nisin is always what could be given from one person to another, is money, ushmami namam, and so we can infer from there that it's money that the mazik has to give to the nizik, and not that he himself gets physically injured the way he injured someone else. So again, that's the Gemara, that's the Bryce's first pasuk when it said Make Adam Make Behema, which the pasuk compares the two of them to say, just like Make Behema Yishalmena is with money, so to Make Adam, when you injure a person, it's not literally an eye for an eye. It means the monetary value of the eye is what you give, and that you're dying a monetary concept of eye, that you give, and because we know it from the Gzeir Shava of Make Behema, so to Make Adam. Now, so the Gemara asks, Umayim Nafshach Leimer. So what did the Bryce mean to say that if you want to say and you have some questions, what are the questions on this first limit that we just explained and elucidated that the Bryce had to bring another pasuk? So that the Gemara says, Suko kasha letana, because there was still a difficulty for the Tana. My chasis, the yolfit mi maka behema. Where did you see fit to learn and compare maki adam to maka behema, as we just explained? Leilif mi maka adam. We should learn that out from the other pasuk, which talks about maki adam, which means literally that the guy gets killed. So here also, we should say when it says kitin mum, that when he gives a blemish, it means ken yinasin bo, so he's going to get a literal blemish back. Just like by maki adam, we see that it's a killing. You don't pay your money for the murder. You get you get killed. The person gets killed himself. So too, he gets executed. So too, regarding the injury, should be the same thing. Because yes, you're comparing it to Maki Behemah, but compare it to Maki Adam, which talks about getting killed. So on that, the Gemara asks that Amri, they said that because of that question, the Tana would not have rejected learning out from the first source to have to require the second pasuk of Lesikhu, because regarding that question, you could easily answer, no, done in Nizikin min Nizikin, you learn that the halachas of damages from damages, which is Maki Behema was damaging an animal, Maki Adam over there was talking about damaging a person. Vein done in Nizikin min Misa, you don't learn out damages from death. That pasuk of Mais Yumas is when you kill somebody, then you get executed. That's death. Why would you learn out Maki Adam from Maki Adam, which is injuring a person from murdering a person, when you'd rather learn it out from injuries, which is how you injure an animal, it's monetarily so too by a person is also monetarily. So that the Gemara says, no, Adrabba, to the contrary. Dan Admi Adam. We'd rather learn the halachas of regarding a victim being a person and the other halacha of the person being a victim, one in death and one in injury, then Dan Admi Mehema, and we wouldn't learn a person from an animal. So therefore it is valid the question that the Braisa had. And Hain Diktani, therefore that's why the time of the Braisa said, Im Nafshach Leimer, if you want to say and you have the questions, which is, okay, why are we learning on Maki Adam from Maki Behema? Let's rather learn on Maki Adam from Maki Adam, which the halacha is of when the person kills someone else, where then he gets physically retribution. So too, when he injures a person, it should also be physically, not monetarily. Therefore, the Brisa brought Harei Oema. That's why we have the second pasuk to say, it says Leisikhu Kefal Nefesh Ritzechi. Now that I take this atonement money for the life of a murderer, Ashuhu Rash Olamas, which is wicked to die, Kimais Yumas, because surely he will die. He has to get executed. He can't pay his way out of this. So the interpretation is Lenefesh Ritzech Iatol Lekech Kefir. For the life of a murderer, you can't take atonement money. But you could take atonement money for a person's limbs, which don't come back, which he caused a final injury, but not killing the person. There you could pay your way out of it. Again, that's the halacha of Ayin Tachas Ayin, not being literal, but actually being monetarily. Now, on the second pasuk, the Gemara asked, but v'haylei sichu kayfer l'nefesh ritzeach, that pasuk they were bringing this drasha for, l'me'utei rashi avam hudas, it's actually necessary for, meaning the Gemara is asking, is it really to say like you wanted to say, excluding that rashi avam, meaning that when do we say you get physically retribution? It's only by murder, but by injuring a person and cutting off one of his limbs, that's being excluded, to say that then it's not physically retribution, only monetarily? And that the Gemara asks, hi mi boyle, but actually you need the pasuk to teach a different teaching. Because the Torah tells us, leisavid beitarti, it's the pasuk is telling us, you don't do two things to a murderer. You don't take money from him and kill him. So how can you say it's extra to say this miyud? You need it for the actual teaching itself. You need it to say that don't take atonement money besides murdering him. So how can you say that it's extra to teach this miyud? And that the Gemara says, no, hi, this that you don't do two punishments to a person, including this murderer, mechdei rishasei nafka. We're learning from a different pasuk in Devarim that says that according to his wickedness, which is in the singular, which tells us risha achas at mechayva. You could only make a person liable for one wickedness that he did. V'at mechayva shtei rishas, you cannot make him liable for two wicked things. And therefore, that we already know that the murderer doesn't get killed and pay money. So why does it say that you don't take atonement money from the murderer? Must be to tell us, but there is somewhere else where you do take atonement money, which is by rashi avarm. But the Gemara still asks, takatimi ba'ilei. Okay, so we don't need it for tell us that you could only get one thing and that, like Kimmel and Bedramine, you don't get both, but you still need it to teach something else. Because the Kam Rachman, the Torah is telling us that, it's telling us, Loitishko Maman Vetiftere, don't take money and exempt the guy from being killed. In other words, you need it from the Pasuk itself, not to exclude something else. It's saying, don't take atonement money. Of course, we know you can't murder him and give him atonement money from Mikidei Rishasa. But saying you would think that the murderer would be able to clear save his life by paying his way out, that's what they're saying. No, we don't take money. You have to be executed. So that's what it's necessary for. But that's not extra to say as a mute to say, however, but Rosh Evarim, that you do take money. So that the Gemara says, M. Cain, if it was only teaching us this halacha that he can't pay his way out, if he's a murderer, then Lichta Brachman the Torah should have only written, Loi Sikhu Kaifer, you shouldn't take atonement money. Lasha Hu Rosh Alamas, who's a wicked person who has to be killed. Now the words Lenefesh Ritzach, for the life of a murderer, which is not necessary, Lomali. Why do you need those words for? Because we could have conveyed the same idea without those words, and no word in the Torah is superfluous. So Shema Mino is coming to tell us, Lenefesh Ritzach Yatalekeach Kaifer. It's for the life of a murderer that you can't take atonement money. But you could take atonement money for when the person injures, cutting off someone's limbs, which are not his nefesh, which is not the soul. He didn't murder someone else. That you would be allowed to, again, pay your way out. And that's the idea about Ayin Tachas Ayin being monetarily and not physically. Now the Gemara asks, if so, so if we already have this second pasuk, which teaches us clearly this halacha of monetary payment for injuring a person, which we call nezik, maka lomali, then why do I need the first limud of comparing maka adam to maka behema, which teaches the same idea, if we really know it from the second pasuk? Now, we said you need the second pasuk because the first one we would have had questions, but if we have the second one, what do you need the first one for? So Amri, they said, imehai, if we only had the second pasuk, havamina would have thought to say, ibayi einoy nesef, if he wants to, which there is a variant text that talks about from the Marshal that it's actually the victim's choice, but the girsa that we have is that we would have thought that the mazik, he gets to choose if he wants to, einoy nesef, if he wants, he could give his actual eye. V'ibayi demei einoy nesef, if he wants to, he could give the value of his eye. That's what you would think if you only had this pasuk of saying, no, it's only by a murderer that he has to get physically retributed. But by Rosh Evarim, that then he could pay his way out, you would think, okay, that he could. Murderer loisikul kaifer. Here he could give kaifer. But you would think that it's his choice. No, I don't want to pay money. You could go ahead and do that injury to me that I did to you. or he could choose to pay money. That's why you need the first pasuk to compare Maka Adam to Maka Behema to tell you the Ma Maka Behema lit tashlumen. Just like when you injure an animal, the only way you could pay up is monetarily. Of Maka Adam lit tashlumen, so too when you injure a person, you can't just say you'll take the same injury back. You have to go ahead and monetarily pay him up for the injury that was inflicted on him. So again, that's the source for the halacha that ayin tachas ayin is monetarily the halacha of nezek. Now the Gemara continues and will continue on the next daf, trying to bring different sources for this halacha, this idea. How do we know that it's monetarily and not physically? So time to learn the brisa. Reb Destoy ben Yehuda Omer, he says, it says in the pasuk, ayin tachas ayin, an eye for an eye, which is that he injured the person by his eye gets taken out. Says Reb Destoy ben Yehuda, it means mum and monetarily, not physically. So he says, ato ayin mum, do you say that's really monetarily? Maybe it means literally that an eye for an eye, you have to go ahead and take his eye out now. Amrit, he says, but you would say, wait a second, you can't say that. Imagine if one of them, the victim or the mazik, that one of them is larger and one of them is smaller. So how could I say an eye for an eye? It's not the same thing. His was a small one and his is a big one. Now, if you're going to say, okay, maybe in those situations you take money, but maybe when the eyes are the same, then you would take an eye for an eye. And that he says, no, because the Torah says in Yikra, Mishpat Echad Yilachem. There should be one judgment for you, which tells us, Mishpat Hashav L'Kulchem. They all have to be equal judgment. You can't say that sometimes it's going to be a real eye and sometimes it's going to be the monetary, and therefore, since it can't always be the eye, because one eye is going to be bigger, therefore it must be always monetarily. Now, on this interpretation of Reb Destoy ben Yehuda, as many of the other ones the Gemara will bring, the Gemara says it's not a proof. Amri, they said, my kusha, what type of a question is that you wouldn't be able to translate it literally an eye for an eye, because one eye is bigger, one eye is smaller, so that wouldn't be an eye for an eye. Dilma maybe, nahayra shakamane. What did he take away from that person when he blinded him? Not literally the eyeball, it's the eyesight that he took away from him. Nahayra amrachmane nishkamane. It's the eyesight that the Torah says that you take away from him. So that would be an eye for an eye, because both of them are losing their eyesight. Now, and the Gemara proves this, because the Eloi Teimahachi, if you don't say that that's actually why it would be equal, and therefore it doesn't make a difference on the measurement of the size of the eye, then, because as the Gemara continues on top of Peidalam and Aleph, cotton, imagine a midget, a small person, Shaharigas HaGadol kills a large person. Or if a Gadol Shaharigas HaKotten, or a large person kills a small person. Well, Hayichikat Linle, how do you execute the murderer? HaTayra, the Torah says, Mishpat Echad Yilachem, there should be one judgment for all of you, which is Mishpat HaShav L'Kulchem, that's equal. And wait a second, it's not equal, because that was a bigger person, that's a smaller person. Ela, rather, Neshama Shakol Minei, he took his life, he took his soul. Neshama Amrachman, Nishkol Minei, so the Torah says, take his soul away. So therefore the Gemara says, Hachanami, here would be the same thing. Nahayra Shakal Maneh, he took away his eyesight. Nahayra Amrachman Nishkal Maneh, here the Torah would say, also you take back his eyesight from him. And therefore again, there is no proof, the Gemara disproves, Reb Destoy ben Yehuda disproves to say that Ayin Tachas Ayin means monetarily, because how could you say it's an eye for an eye when one eye is bigger, one eye is smaller? And the Gemara says that's not true, because it's not the eye itself, it's the eyesight. Just like it's not the body of the person, it's the life force, which are the same by both of them, that's the same for the eye, and therefore it's no proof you would be able to still say that ayin tachas ayin means literally an eye for an eye, and not monetarily, which was what we called the first halacha of the Mishnah, that of nezek.